Let's pray. Lord God, let the words that you have put in my heart this week be heard as they are intended. Lord, we leave space for you today inside this building, the space we need to learn and the space we need to be challenged. For those traveling this weekend, we keep them safe as they travel. And may we as a country never forget what Memorial Day really means and the hundreds of thousands who gave their life the ultimate price. In your name, amen. I've titled this message, God's Plan is Worth the Wait. Our text today will be from Isaiah 30, verse 18. I'll read that in a little bit. Waiting is difficult. It's one of the most difficult things that we face in life. We face for test results, for broken relationships, for dreams, for peace to replace anxiety, and hopefully for God to make a way. We're impatient. We want God to answer things now, not tomorrow, not next week, not 3 years from now, or not 5 years from now. We live in a culture that's instant everything, microwaves, instant oatmeal, fast food, same-day delivery, next-day shipping, all those kind of things. Sometimes we assume that a delay means denial. Sometimes we interpret God's silence as his absence, or even that he doesn't care. Isaiah 30:18 gives us a different picture of waiting. Waiting isn't punishment, but it's a place we need to be to encounter God, his grace, and his compassion. Let me read Isaiah 30, verse 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. I hope this verse and this message speaks to you today, especially if you're in a season of waiting. And I think if all of us were honest, every one of us, me included, is in a season of waiting. Before I go into my message, I was looking at my calendar at my home office, and May 26th, 9 years ago, our church was in a season of waiting. Anybody remember way back then why we were waiting? Well, I'll tell you. 600 privets were delivered, and we planted a hillside that we said was love like Jesus. There are going to be a few pictures behind me. That's what it looked like. There was bulldozers, you name it, getting stuff moved around. We had to push dirt up the side hill. You can't really see that real good, but we laid out the words, love like Jesus. We pounded rebar at every corner, and we put fluorescent tape around it, because just because it looks good on paper doesn't necessarily mean it's going to look on a hillside. We want it to look good with thousands of cars going up and down the highway. So that was of the wording. Here's some people putting in the privets. More privet install. And that's how it looks today. We had faith. Quite frankly, even had faith in me when I was in charge of that project. And when I said, let's plant a hedge, and then nobody had probably ever heard of privets. And when the privets arrived, they were literally the size of a pencil. And it took about 3 years for them to get to where we could even see it from the road, a shrub big enough to actually have that outline of love like Jesus. So the first few years, we painted the tops of the 2x4s so we could actually see love like Jesus out there as we waited. But that wait turned out all right. Isn't it nice to be known as the Love Like Jesus Church in the Valley? Yes. Or when somebody, you know, the address is 19 McElmurray Lane, that's not too exciting. Well, okay, well, it's about 31st and Sunset Highway. Okay, half of, a couple blocks north of Bonaventure. Okay. Well, you remember that hillside that says Love Like Jesus when you're on Sunset Highway? That's where Columbia Grove is. I've even been told that now the shrubs are so large that you can actually see it on Google Earth. So our waiting and our patience was worthwhile. And we'll talk about how God tests us. This morning I want to make 3 points. First one, waiting isn't withholding. It's God preparing us out of his love. Second point, God's timing is perfect. Doesn't mean it isn't painless. And the last one is the blessing is found in the waiting, not just the answer. Let's start with a question, and I don't want any arms up. This is just you and you're talking to God. How many of us like to wait? And I kind of figured so. I don't like to wait either. I'm a get it done person. If it's done today, it really should have been done yesterday is how I live my life. Waiting's tough. Yet today we're going to dive into Isaiah 30 verse 18 and realize that God's plan is worth the wait. Through the prophet Isaiah, he was spoken to by God in a time of uncertainty. And it might actually be fitting this Memorial Day weekend as we honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for each of us. That many, many years ago, I remember when I was just a wee little lad, and yes, I was little at one time. Many, many years ago, I remember my grandma talking about how her uncles in wars and how they waited for a telegram or a letter. But those letters could have been 30 days old. It wasn't internet and email and all those things. That wait was horrendous for those people back home waiting and hopefully never to have a military chaplain knock on your door. Friends, waiting prepares us. It's easy to believe that when God delays us, he's forgotten about us. Maybe you've prayed for something for years and you haven't got an answer. Maybe your best friend or somebody really close to you seems to get their prayers answered immediately. And poor Paul, or fill in the name, has to wait. Isaiah tells us, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you." That word long reveals something very, very powerful. It means desire. God's not holding back his blessings on any of us by indifference. He wants to be gracious. He wants to eagerly be in our lives. His timing isn't about disinterest, but divine wisdom, and I believe his fatherly love. Think about when you were 10, or if you have a 10-year-old around you, or a 10-year-old son, daughter, grandchild, and they say, "Mom, Dad, I want ice cream. Give me the keys to the car." And you say, "Well, probably not now. You don't have a driver's license, don't have insurance on you, and I don't even think you can reach the pedals and see over the steering wheel. So this isn't a good idea." That 10-year-old might think of that as punishment because he wants ice cream or she wants ice cream. But as a parent, that's love because we know that that person isn't ready. So as we delve into things that we may not be ready for, God's preparing our heart, aligning us, aligning our circumstances, and he's writing a story that's deeper and better than any of us can see right now. Even our Lord and Savior waited. He was on this earth for 30 years, kind of living in obscurity, quietly growing, learning, and preparing for what his Father had called him to do. So if you're waiting today, take heart. You're in good company. God's not neglecting you. He's preparing you out of love, just like the parent with that 10-year-old child, for something better, deeper, and something more powerful, more beautiful than even you or I can even imagine. And trust that he is working in the delay. In Isaiah 30, the people of Judah were in a crisis, surrounded by threats from foreign powers. They were desperate for a solution. But instead of turning to God, they sought alliances with Egypt, hoping for a quick fix. But God, through Isaiah, warns them that their plans will fail because it was rooted in his way. In verse 18, he reminds us that he longs to be gracious to us, but his grace comes through waiting, not by rushing ahead. God was preparing Judah for a deeper trust in him. They didn't know it, but even if it meant a time of uncertainty in their lives. I think back about when you, it's amazing what when you pray and what God puts on your heart when you're gonna give a message. I was thinking about what takes a long time to wait. And when you commercially grow Chinese bamboo, it takes a while. You plant the seed and you wait. You wait a year, absolutely nothing. You wait 2 years, absolutely nothing. You wait 3 years, you wait 4 years, little crown comes up, but really absolutely nothing. But in the fifth year, that bamboo in 6 weeks can sprout up to 80 feet. But just like with us, with that bamboo waiting, the bamboo wasn't waiting. Just what we could see was waiting. Because for that bamboo to shoot up 80 feet, guess what? It had to have an incredible root structure. So the bamboo was still working, even though we couldn't see it work. Just like Jesus in our lives, he's always working, even when we can't see that working with our own eyes. God works with us, strengthening our character, strengthening our faith, preparing us for blessings that he has in store for us. Think about a time when you had to wait for a job, medical, a relationship, kicking an addiction to the curb, or maybe it was just a huge breakthrough in your life that changed the course of your life. One of those, the old Yogi Berra, you know, the fork in the road type of moments. Maybe you didn't understand, and I've been there just like you. I'm never gonna talk up here like I haven't been involved in any of this. Maybe you didn't understand what took so long, but looking back, you can see how God was preparing you. Even me being up here as a pastor, everything I've done in my life has made it to where this is more comfortable for me because of my life and my history and my past. God was preparing you, he prepared me. Maybe he was teaching you patience, maybe he was aligning your circumstances, protecting you from something that you couldn't even see. But when you're tempted to take a shortcut, just remember, God isn't withholding, he's still preparing. Let's be real. Waiting can be painful. It's tough to wait for healing, for financial provisions, reconciling relationships, waiting for that certain job offer. Waiting can bring uncertainty, sleepless nights, frustration, and yes, even deep heartache. But the good news is, God's timing is perfect, and he never said it wouldn't be painless. The story of Joseph in Genesis is a great example. As a young man, Joseph got a dream from God, visions of leadership and influence, but his journey to fulfill that was marked by delays and pain. He was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, falsely accused and thrown into prison. For years, Joseph waited in circumstances that seemed to contradict that dream he had. Can you imagine the questions Joseph must have had? God, where are you? Did I misunderstand your call? Yet through it all, God was at work with Joseph. In Genesis 50:20, Joseph reflects on that journey, saying to his brothers, "You intended me harm. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." God used those trials as a position of Joseph as a leader in Egypt, where he saved countless lives during a famine. What looked like a delay was actually divine intervention and preparation. The waiting of Joseph increased Joseph's faith, developed his tough resilience, and equipped him for God's purpose. Always remember, it's God's timing, not ours. That story of Joseph also reminds us of pain. But those seasons aren't the end of the story. The pain isn't wasted. It's part of the process. Maybe you're in a season of pain right now, waiting. Hold fast to the truth that God does see you. He knows your struggles. And he's weaving your pain into a story of redemption. His timing is perfect, even when it doesn't feel good. Hopefully one of the greatest gifts of waiting is drawing us closer to God. When life is smooth and everything's to be going great, it's awful easy to think about Jesus. If we're honest with ourselves, when times are tough is when we really think about Jesus. We might coast in days that are self-sufficient, but when we're forced to wait, we're reminded of the dependence we each have on God. Waiting strips away our illusions of control, invites us into a deeper relationship with the one who holds everything together. King David understood this in Psalm 27, he writes, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." David's life was filled with waiting. Waiting as a child to become king, waiting for deliverance from his enemies, waiting for God's guidance. God was preparing him for more than just to be king, but to be the type of king whose heart was shaped with humility, patience, and trust. Yet through those seasons, David cultivated a heart of worship and trust and increased his faith. His psalms are filled with raw honesty, crying out to God in the time of waiting and finding strength in that presence. In Psalm 40, verse 1, David says, "I have waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry." Waiting wasn't just a test for David. It was a pathway to be closer to God. I don't want any hands up in the air, but how's your relationship with God in your time of waiting? Are you growing closer, or are you pulling away? Waiting's an opportunity to seek God. Pray, join a connection group when we start those up again, to worship, to study. The older I get, I believe that in the waiting, at least for me personally, I start to hear God's voice clearer and clearer, to trust those promises and to experience his peace that truly does surpass all understanding. Friends, don't waste the waiting. Use it as a season to grow close to God. Let it be a time of spiritual renewal where you can be in joy in presence of God, even in the midst of uncertainty. If you've noticed a track here, David waited 12 years, Joseph waited 13, Abraham waited 25, Moses waited 40, Noah waited 120, and this Paul waited 30 to get answers. If you don't know why I said 30, ask me in the foyer, or better yet, the membership class. I'll be happy to share. So friends, you're in good company while you're waiting. Isaiah 30:18 declares, "Blessed are all who wait for him." Friends, that's a promise. God honors those who trust in his timing. When we rely on the Lord, we are in his position to receive his goodness and grace, his compassion, and his justice. Not just rewarded and not just answered, but blessed. There's blessing in the waiting itself. We often think that the blessing comes when the prayer is answered, when the healing comes, and when the door opens. But Scripture teaches us something different, something deeper. The process of waiting is part of God's blessing. We always want that big prayer answered. And like I said earlier, we want that prayer answered now because we're impatient. But don't overlook those small prayers. We have hundreds, if not thousands, of those small prayers that are answered all the time. Those small prayers lead to those big prayers getting answered. And sometimes we ignore those small prayers. In the waiting is how we are shaped. We learn to lean not on our own understanding, but to trust in the Lord. We discover that our faith isn't just about the outcome, but it's also about our relationship with Jesus. We begin to hunger not just for the answer, but for the one who holds the answer. Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. "We also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope." That progression happens in seasons of waiting. You see, the blessing isn't just what we get at the end. It's in who we become along the way. And ultimately, we are blessed, not by what we get, but what we learn from God along that journey. Waiting draws us into a deeper fellowship with him. It roots us in his promises. It helps us to even worship in silence, to trust in the dark, and to rest in his unfailing love. When Isaiah says, "Blessed for all who wait for him," he's actually telling us, don't miss what God's doing in a time of waiting. We want answers, but never forget what God's waiting and what's God doing. Think about the farmer preparing for a harvest. Farmer doesn't plant seeds one day. Expect a harvest immediately. Have to have rain, irrigation, have to have sunshine. The farmer doesn't dig the seeds up just because they haven't grown in 3 days. Those seeds have to germinate. The farmer is in a season of waiting. And he also doesn't try to force those seeds to grow quicker. He knows that the harvest will come when in due time, and it will be worth the wait. In the same way, God's cultivating that harvest in your life and mine. The blessings that he has for you and me may not come on our individual schedules, but they will come. Those who wait on the Lord will see that faithfulness. They will experience his provisions, his restoration, and his joy. Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good to those whose hope in him, to the one who seeks him." This tells me that it's an active choice to hope in God, to seek him, and to trust in his goodness. Keep waiting, keep trusting. Ultimately, the Bible points us to one incredible truth. Jesus himself was that fulfillment of a long wait. For centuries, God's people were promised and waited for a Messiah. Through prophets like Isaiah, God gave glimpses of a Savior who would bring salvation, justice, and peace. But the wait was long, wasn't it? Exile, oppression, seasons of silence, But the people of Israel clung to God's promises, even when the hope seemed distant. At just the right moment, Jesus came. He was worth the wait, wasn't he? His life, death, and resurrection fulfilled God's promises and opened the way for each of us to be reconciled to God. Jesus is the ultimate proof that God's plan is worth the wait. But the story doesn't end there, does it? We're still waiting. We as believers are still waiting. We live in an already done, but not quite yet moment right now. We're waiting for his return when he will make all things right, wipe away every tear, and right every wrong. It's in this time that we live in hope, knowing that the one who is faithful will come again. Friends, let Jesus be that anchor in your waiting and in mine. Keep your eyes on him. God was faithful to promise and deliver us a Savior. We can trust in those promises for our lives. So whether you're waiting for a personal breakthrough or the ultimate return of Christ, Jesus is worth the wait. Let me close like this. Waiting on God is never wasted. Every moment that you spend trusting him, seeking him, and resting in his promises is a moment of eternal significance. God is not just asking you to wait for him. He's waiting with you and with me. He's present in your uncertainty. He's present in your pain. And he's present in your hope. The Bible verse in Isaiah reminds us that he longs to be gracious to you, and he will rise up to show you compassion. Waiting is an act of faith that you believe God's plan is better than anything that you can come up with. It's a choice to trust that his timing is perfect, even when it's painful. It's an opportunity to grow closer to him, to experience his presence, and to prepare for the blessings that he has in store. And above all, it's a reminder that Jesus, the one in charge, is coming again. So what are you waiting for? A job? Health diagnosis? Directions for your future? Healing in your family? Answers to questions that keep you up at night? Whatever it is, remember that good news from Isaiah. God has not forgotten you or me. He longs to be gracious to you. He's rising up to show you compassion. He's a God of justice, and blessed are all who wait for him. The waiting isn't empty. The waiting isn't meaningless, and it's not forever. It's part of God's beautiful plan to draw you close, to grow your faith, and to reveal his grace in ways that only waiting can do. So don't give up, don't lose heart, and don't rush what God is doing. And while you wait, wait with hope. So may we be a people who wait well, who wait faithfully, and who wait knowing that God never fails. I love this definition of faith. Faith is trusting in God, even though we don't understand the plan. There's an old Christian cowboy saying that goes something like this: I don't know much, but there are three things that I do know. Prayer has power, faith can move mountains, and God's love never fails. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your perfect timing and your faithful love. Help us to wait on you with patience and trust, knowing that your plan is worth the wait. During this waiting time, Lord, draw us closer to you and fill us with hope as we look to Jesus. May we live each day with the confidence that you are with us, working all things for our good, and that we truly can put our trust in a faithful God. Amen.